in a word of prayer as Brother Kemp comes forth to minister. Heavenly Father, we go, Lord, and thank you that you have opened up the reality of truth, that we are able to not only see it, but take hold of it, Father, to recognize your working in us, both the willing to do of your good pleasure, mm-hmm. that we are in your sight, Father, a pleasurable work. Father, we want to be partakers and participants in this work, Father.
Amen.
We thank you for the resources, the benefits, the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus mm-hmm. that enable us to do these things.
Amen.
Father, we know through your word and through your experience that we do have an adversary mm-hmm. who has great wrath against us. Mm-hmm. But Father, we know through that word too that this is a token of our salvation. Mm-hmm. Father, so we thank you for the word of God. We mm-hmm. thank you for the opening up our minds and our hearts to understand it, to know it, to believe it, to trust
Amen.
In it.
Amen.
And we thank you for the ministers of the gospel through their ministries.
Amen.
That they strengthen us to take hold of these things and to not look back, but look ahead for these exceeding great and precious promises that are still yet to come. Mm-hmm. So, Father, we ask thy blessing upon Brother Al as he comes forth to minister the word. Strengthen him to do so, Father, and help us to hold on, believe it, and trust in you even more through his ministry. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing in our consideration of John chapter 5. Mm-hmm. And the last couple of weeks we've dealt with these verses from 17 through 20. Mm-hmm. And so we're ready to consider this word of the Savior now. Keep in mind that he was talking to his enemies when he spoke this, but these, nevertheless, are words that are good mm-hmm. for everyone to consider.
Amen.
But he was more or less in a militant stance when he spoke these things. You know, mm-hmm. He was talking to those that wanted to slay him. They had purposed to kill him. You know, and here he's talking right in their face. You know, he didn't let that tone him down. He just kept talking. He just kept announcing what he had purposed to announce, in spite of these oppositions.
Amen.
So as he says here, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And I purpose to go on a little further than this in John chapter 5, too, as we have opportunity, and this is going to be a discussion. Okay? So if you want to join in here, you feel free to do that, and we'll edify one another. So some introductory considerations of this word of the Savior here. The Father, from the very beginning, had the power to both raise up men from the dead and to make them alive. Notice he's talking about two different things, to raise up from the dead and to quicken, right? So raise up and quicken. So both of these, this is good language for us to get inside of us, this matter of he raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, right? Not just raiseth up the dead, but quickeneth them. You have to make them alive, right? So, and then... The Lord Jesus Christ is here affirming that same power resides in him as well, in the capacity of his being both the Son of God mm-hmm. and the Son of Man.
Yes.
See, now as the Word, prior to his entrance into the world, he had the same power that the Father did. See, there was no... Mm-hmm. But see, now in this new capacity of being the Son of God... And the Son of Man, see, now God has given him this power. God the Father gave him this power Amen. In this capacity
yes.
of this one who is identified with us. Mm-hmm. Son of God, Son of Man, right? He's actually, heaven and earth are now joined together. So you think about it. The Son of God, the Son of Man, right? So we hear he's identified with God fully,
yes.
and he's identified with us fully. See, so now in this capacity, in this identification with both the Father and with us, with men, right? He, see, Jesus has been given power to quicken, See, whosoever he wills.
Yes.
Now, nevertheless, see, he doesn't have an independent will from the Father. See, now, he's not saying like, well, Jesus is a freelancer and he can just go and quicken whoever he wants. That he's saying is he has the same power that the Father does. The Father quickens whoever he wants.
Yes.
And the Son quickens whoever he wants, but they're together. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. See, they're always working together. Jesus never works independently from the Father, right? And the Father never works independently from Jesus.
Amen.
See, he said, they're always, I and my Father are one. He said, Jesus said, I can do nothing but what I see my Father do, right? So,
Amen.
So it's always, Jesus is always waiting on the Father. He's looking to the Father to, and perhaps even now in the world to come, he doesn't have the inhibitions and restrictions that he had in the days of his flesh, but no doubt he is looking to the Father. The Father is the one who's directing these things, he's the one who's directing the Son, and the Son is directing us by the Spirit. So this is the divine order of things. So we have the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Lord Jesus Christ is here affirming that he's equal with the Father. See, he said, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Mm-hmm. He's just affirming that reality, right? So he said, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He's not talking about independently of the Father. Mm-hmm. He's talking about working in concert with the Father. See, Jesus is now in the capacity of the Son of God, as the Son of God and Son of Man. He has been given this capacity to quicken whosoever he will, but whosoever he wills is the same ones that whosoever God wills, right? So it's not two different things. So now Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. I think this is 1 Corinthians 15:45. So I may have to check that one out. I didn't put that reference. I'm pretty sure it is verse 45. It's 1 Corinthians 15 to be sure, and it's all along about verse 45, right? So the last Adam was made a quickening or a life-giving spirit.
Yes.
He, working together with the Father, has the power to raise men up unto eternal life. Now here, this is a distinction that we want to see here. See, now the Father working... See, the Father did not have power... See, he had power to raise men from the dead.
Yes.
But they would just die again.
Yes.
See, he needed Jesus in order for this matter of the impartation of eternal life.
Yes,
see,
right.
This is why this matter... See, now, it was essential if men were going to have eternal life that sin had to be effectually dealt with. See, so God needed Jesus in order for this matter of eternal life to be imparted to men, right? So not just raising from the dead like he did with Lazarus and with the widow of Nain's son and others. We're going to talk about some of those specific examples, but anyhow...
Brother, he's raising all men also to have eternal life.
Yeah.
Not just the saints, but he's raising the wicked for eternal life as well.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to have a resurrected body, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, he is the Savior of all men.
Amen.
That's what Paul said to Timothy, right?
That's right.
Especially those that believe, right? So the Savior of all men.
Yes.
And he is the Savior of the body, right?
Amen.
He is the Savior of the world.
Right.
He's the Savior of the world, right?
That's
so,
right. Yeah.
Further up.
Yeah, it justifies God, what he said in Genesis 1:26. I mean, this fact that Jesus has been set there to quicken. He says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. See, this brought a capacity that God would work with. Later he would work with it much, much more in this regeneration. But see, they had the capacity for God to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
They were made in his image. It would provoke God to do good things for them. They were made in his image.
In his image.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Very good. Very good point. And so now, anybody else have you something, Brother Mike? You not yet. We're going to provoke you. So, Brother Matt, anybody else want to jump in here? Sister Karen? No. Okay. So let's think about the Father raising up certain ones in the time of Moses and the prophets, and even in the time of the days of Christ's flesh and during his earthly ministry. See, now these were examples of men just being raised. Well, even in the book of Acts, there's some examples of men being raised, just raised from the dead, right? But they all had to die again. They all had to die again. See, now what Jesus is talking about is whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, right? That's the kind of provision that Jesus brings, right?
Amen.
Now working together with the Father. See, he's not working independent of the Father, but he's working with the Father.
Yes.
The Father is working with Jesus, and now eternal life is being imparted unto men, not just being raised out of the grave. See, so that's... So I wanted to just take a little bit of time here to talk about some instances. Now, there were three instances in Moses and the prophets that I could find, and four if you count Hezekiah.
Yeah.
Hezekiah came close to dying, right?
Yes, that's right.
But there were three specific instances of men being raised from the dead in Moses and the prophets, and there were three in the gospel ministry, right? We have the widow of Nain's son, we have Lazarus, and we have Jairus' daughter, right? So three, there were three. Not that there's a connection between the three and three, that's what we're talking about. There was just a limited number of individuals that were raised from the dead. And in the book of Acts, I could only think of two. There was Dorcas and Eutychus, right? Was there anybody? Did I miss anybody? I tried to think now. Dorcas was with Peter, and Eutychus was with Paul, right? Paul, remember, he fell out of the third loft,
right, that's right.
And he was taken up for dead, right? And Paul went down and laid on him, similar to what Elijah and Elisha did, right? So anyhow. Now we have this instance. I want us to just take the time because it's important, I think, for us to be refreshed in Moses and the prophets.
Yes.
To see the connection with Moses and the prophets with the rest of the scripture. You know, not as an isolated thing, but I want us to see these examples. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 17, and we have the text right here. This is I'm going to summarize what we're talking about first. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Right. We have this. The three examples are. In the case of Elijah, and there's two in the case of Elisha, right? So in the case of Elijah, it was raising of a widow's son. And in the case of Elisha, it was the raising of the Shunammite woman's son, right? But also that when Elisha died, remember, he was put in the grave, and somebody else was put in the same grave with him, and when the man touched the bones of Elisha, he sprang to life again and came to life again from the dead. So, and so we're going to talk about this, and but this is important because we're talking about God raising up men from the dead, right? So, these are examples. Now, there are three examples in Moses and the prophets, and four if you can include Hezekiah, who came he pronounced him dead, but he. Yeah. But anyhow, let's think about this. We have in the case of Elijah, okay? Elijah was in 1 Kings, Elisha was in 2 Kings, right? So it's good for us to think about our spiritual GPS. You want to be able to identify where things are in your mind, you know, you want to be able to travel there. You say, I'm going to go to 1 Kings chapter 17 or 2 Kings, you know, we'll help one another with this.
Yes.
And it came to pass that after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into the loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed, and cried unto the Lord. See, he didn't do this independently of the Lord. See, he cried unto the Lord. But nevertheless, see how he was involved in this as well. See, it was not just, he just didn't, you know, say a prayer and God raised him from the dead. See, Elijah was very much involved in this boy's being raised from the dead. And he cried unto the Lord, saying, "O Lord, my God, thou hast brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son. Gave God the glory there, right? Mm-hmm. God did it. Mm-hmm. God slew the son, right? Mm-hmm. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. Yeah. Didn't happen just because God slew the son, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he stretched himself. This is something that both Elijah and Elisha, this same language is used, he stretched himself
yes.
upon the child three times mm-hmm. and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Mm-hmm. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and mm-hmm. the soul of the child came into him again.
Amen.
And he revived.
Yes,
so just think about that language. The soul came back into him again. Mm-hmm. So that's when we talk about death, we're talking about a separation, right, of the soul
right.
from the body. And
yes.
So here's this language in the scripture here. Mm-hmm. The soul came back unto him again, right? So, and then in the case of Elisha, mm-hmm. raising the Shunammite woman's son, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunam, mm-hmm. where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. Mm-hmm. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread, mm-hmm. and she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, mm-hmm. which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, mm-hmm. I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. Mm. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither. Mm. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us for this, with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Mm-hmm. Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. Mm-hmm. And he said, What is then to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child. Mm-hmm. And her husband is old. Mm-hmm. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood but in the door, and he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Mm. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Mm. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. Mm-hmm. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Mm-hmm. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? And it is neither new moon nor Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say to her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. And she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take up my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her, and Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them, twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself, and he went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times. And the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. And then she went in and fell on his face and bowed herself to the ground and took her son and went out. The reason I took the time to read that is so we have this in our minds. You know, we think about some of the details associated with this raising from the dead. This was one of the three specific times when somebody was actually dead that was raised in Moses and the prophets. So now this other incident here with regard to the man who was cast into Elisha's sepulcher. So this was right after Elisha had said to the Syrian king, he said, thou should have smitten three or four times, right? And then it was right after that he died. So this is a little bit of the context there. And so it said that Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year, and it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast that man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down, he touched the bones of Elisha, and he revived and stood up upon his feet. Mm-hmm. Now, in each one of these instances that we just mentioned, see, there was a connection with a holy prophet.
Yes.
But there was a connection with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. See, it wasn't just an isolated example. See, these were, Elijah, both Elijah and Elisha. Mm-hmm. Elijah is the one that's going to come, that Malachi talked about, right? He says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he shall... Remember that. That's the closing words of Moses and the prophets in Malachi, right? So,
amen.
So here these are some of the most notable prophets associated with the Word of God. See now here now this is in my judgment, it's the connection with the Word of God that why this even happened. See, it's not he didn't pick Aaron or Levi to do this or one of the other great men. He didn't Asaph. You know, he could have picked Asaph the psalmist or David, you know, David the sweet psalmist of Israel. Yeah. You know, but he picked these God chose to use these men with whom was associated directly associated the Word of God, right? And these were very notable men for that. So in these three instances, it was actually God who raised the dead by a specific means that he had determined. Mm-hmm. Elijah didn't do it by himself, and neither did Elisha. Mm-hmm. And The individuals were raised from the dead by a notable prophet of God, which we've said, and by the heart engagement of the prophet. See, the prophet was actually very much engaged in this matter. It wasn't just something that just offered up a prayer and then said, well, we're going to leave it in the hands of God now. So he gave himself wholeheartedly to this work. Calling upon the name of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. So in the third instance, God was demonstrating that the association of life even with even the bones of his mighty prophet, right? Even the bones. See, now the bones, you know, just like Nehushta. What is that? Remember the brazen serpent? Remember remember they worshiped the brazen serpent, and Moses or one of the prophets, they finally had to destroy it, right? Because they were so, and they had they had to get rid of it because people were worshiping. So it would have been the same with the bones of Elijah. See, it's not the bones of Elisha. So it's not the bones in themselves didn't have the power, right? It was God gave the power, right? God was, and the connection is because with this prophet of God and with the word of God, right? With the proclamation of the word of God. That's what you want to see here, is that there is reasoning. This is reasonable what God is doing here. There's a connection here, a reasonable connection why this happened, right? Mm-hmm. So we have those. These are the three examples of someone actually being raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm. In every one of these cases, the ultimate reasoning is because God is magnifying himself unto these people all of those around them.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He's revealing himself.
Amen.
Through these instances.
That's right. Amen.
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 In each of these, there's things that, you know, we are given to see, you know, about the person of God. As you're hearing, saying, you know, the one thing that caught my attention here was the mother's comment to the prophet was, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." Mm-hmm. There was, if you will, a clinging to this one, for she knew that he was of a power to do what she had requested. But see, you also know that there had to be a time period that for Elisha now to go to her home to do this. So she was, if you will, she was living by faith here, holding fast to the prophet of God. And again, you think about that in regard to salvation. We are clinging on to the Lord Jesus Christ for this matter of quickening unto life.
That's
Amen.
Right.
So
we talked about this matter of God's going to raise all men from the dead when Jesus comes again.
Amen.
But the thing of importance to all of us is what happens after that.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
Are you going to be raised to the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation?
That's right.
See, so we want to have this same mindset. As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, Lord, I will not leave thee.
Amen.
Because he's the one that's enabled not only to quicken, to raise from the dead, but also to quicken unto eternal life. So I like the way you're tying these two together. He's going to raise all men, all that are in the grave are going to hear his voice and go forth, all of them. But is it going to be to the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation?
Amen. Amen.
You know, even in our day, we have... How many times have you had a person walk up to you and say, "I need you to pray about this because why? Because, you know," I'm going to quote their stupidity, their ignorance. You have an in. They recognize you as a child of God. There's something different about you. And so they come to you and want you to pray about things for them because they think, you know, they see the connection you have with God Almighty.
Amen.
And the pitiful thing is, they can have this connection and
they just
can't see it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But we thank the Lord that we are recognized by individuals that come to us and ask for our help.
That's right.
In Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You know, when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, Brother Fred related, he was working as a printer back then, but he said that the boss of the print shop there said he called Brother Fred to pray. He wanted Brother Fred to to pray in the behalf of everybody else, you know. So I thought that was, it made me think of what you're saying there too, you know, that was a, you know, so when in these times of difficulty, the people know who to come to.
Yeah, those around you that you're given opportunity to minister to, it very well could be that you're working on the first phase here. You're like warming them up.
Yeah.
Right? The flesh of the child wax warm.
Yeah.
Hey, this is what, we have a ministry of that. We bring, people sense there's something different, but see, then when you extend yourself, you now they can see more.
Amen.
Especially when God answers your prayer.
Yeah.
Amen.
This is of course God chooses that, you know, who he will or what prayers he won't, but see, they see something different in you, and this life, it just can't be contained. It bursts forth.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Now, this warming of yourself that you talked about, Brother Bob, remember in 1 John, you know, he talks both about being begotten of God and born of God. Mm-hmm. See, now this beginning takes place before being born.
Amen.
You see, we're begotten by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, right? So there's, you know, when you sense that people, there's people out there that maybe haven't repented, they haven't come to the Lord yet, but they have an ear for these things.
Yes.
You sense
yes.
that there's an interest in certain Amen. Ones that, now that's because they've been begotten.
Yes.
See, that the seed has been sown in them. See, it remains for them to obey the gospel and be born. See, this is to be born of God. So this is, you see what I mean? So there's it's like, just like in our own case, there was a time when we were begotten, we're still in our mother's womb, but there was a time when we were born. See, this is where you see this same in the kingdom. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You've got to see it in order to enter it. So,
yes.
Brother Ellen, these three scriptures also, I can see Christ in all of this.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Through his death, burial, and resurrection, that was what happened to us. Our old man had died.
Yes.
And he revived our souls through his precious blood.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Revived our souls by his precious blood. And it is by his blood. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
We always want to be reminded of that connection and to see that more clearly, Amen. Sister Rochelle. That's very good.
Mm.
Amen.
Now, when this man touched the bones of Elisha, now, I can't imagine him just like being real silent. Like, get me out of here. Don't leave me down here in this pit. So, I mean, but see, this new life begets life. And so this thing, you know, that God's showing us something. He's not constrained. He's not. I mean, it could be that you would come across a word from a brother that departed 300 years ago. And yet, his words are just as alive today as they were then.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Yeah, we have that proof. Is the entire Bible is that.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right. It's a living word.
Amen.
Now, well, to make a brief summary here of some of the things we've talked about, is it possible that God could raise multitudes from the dead?
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
But is this his purpose? Mm. Not in the sense that, you know, the Shunammite with no son was. This would actually like bring about an interference with his eternal purpose. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
You know,
for God to raise like multitudes from the, you know, like God could empty a cemetery.
He could
empty all the cemeteries, right? He could. He has that power. But see, that would not have been in accord with his eternal purpose. See, it's an eternal purpose, right?
Amen.
So in the case of the ones that were raised from the dead, they had to die again, right? So
amen.
They had to, so that man that fell on the bones, you know, he means I have to go through this again. Remember what Samuel, remember, he said, why hast thou troubled me to bring me up? So that's not.
That's right.
Now, in the case of King Hezekiah, he was sick unto death.
Yeah,
that's it. The prophet told him, you set your house in order, you're going to die. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Mm-hmm. That's the word of the Lord. How about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about that? That's. Mm-hmm. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city, and it shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down upon in the sundial of Ahaz. The sundial was the means of determining what time of the day it was, right? So this was So 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by the degrees it was gone down. You know, people say, well, this is just scientists say that this is just impossible. Yeah, this could never happen. Well, this is God. See, this is God that's doing this. See, and this is.
Yeah, and I can agree with them. I told one scientist, you're right. It is absolutely impossible. But let me tell you about the God who can do impossible things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of these scientists that are honest.
Yes.
Know that the Earth is missing 10 minutes.
Into, yeah, I've heard that. That.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
There's a day when the sun stood still, too. So
yes.
That's,
yeah.
So,
amen.
I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. Mm-hmm. I am deprived of the residue of my years. Mm-hmm. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. Mm-hmm. I have cut off like a weaver my life, and he will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning that as a lion so will he break my bones, all my bones, and from day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? For he has spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live.
Yes.
Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, and but thou hast to love in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. This is the word, these are the words of Hezekiah that we often quote. But for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father of the children shall make known thy truth. The father was ready to save me, and therefore will we sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also said, what is the sign that this shall be, that I shall go up into the house of the Lord? Mm-hmm. I want to just make this comment that this was spoken in the days prior to life and immortality being brought to life through the gospel. See, now this is, I think we have to see, and there's a couple other verses that I want to talk about in this connection, that the reason, you know, when the psalmists talk about things, or the prophets, when they talked about these things back then, they were thinking about everything coming an end when they died. It just hadn't been. See, they didn't.
Yes.
See, that doesn't mean that they're not partakers. It just that wasn't revealed until Jesus came.
Amen.
Life and immortality. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Mm-hmm. That life and immortality has been brought to life through the gospel. Right. Yeah. So the gospel it actually has brought life and immortality into our firm grasp, so that we're able to actually talk about it as like a household. These are household. This is family talk now.
Amen.
It's family talk. See, so we actually talk about it as things that we handle and things that we're very familiar with and that we love and we want more of. See, we want to know more of this. Yes. So life and immortality. But before Jesus came, see, this was it was all over. As far as men could see, it was all over at the grave.
That's right.
Now, David saw a little bit farther than that, and some of the prophets did, to be sure. They saw some of them, God gave them to see a little bit more than that, but see, that's what, and we'll see here that, you know, some, as we go on here, that and Hezekiah was as good as dead, ascending according to the words of the prophet Isaiah, but he was spared from going all the way into the grave as a demonstration of God's power to raise from the dead.
Yeah.
And there are a few instances of God actually raising the dead in Scripture. Three or four in Moses and the prophets, which we've already talked about, and three who were raised by the Lord Jesus in the days of his flesh. Mm-hmm. And then I could only think of two instances in the book of Acts, you know, so unless you can think of any others. But those were the two, Eutychus and Dorcas, were the ones that only I could think of that were actually raised from the dead. Now, the if there were others that, you know, that it's just we don't know about them, and it's not important, you know. We've already talked about this. Could God have raised multitudes from the dead? Yes, he certainly could have. But this would not have accorded with his eternal purpose, because all these individuals that were raised had to die again.
The only ones I can think of is when Jesus rose from the dead, some came out of the graves. But he had...
Himself?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it says that some saints came out of the graves,
Okay, so there's...
So, but I mean...
That's good.
He didn't, like, personally send a prophet to do that. That was a result of his resurrection.
Result of his resurrection. That's good. Everybody familiar with that? I think that's is it Matthew that records that, where some of the saints actually were risen from the grave, you know, after Jesus was.
What about Lazarus and Jesus calling him out of the grave?
Lazarus is one of the three. Lazarus in Jesus' earthly ministry, the three that are named are Lazarus and Jairus' daughter and
the widow of
Nain's son. Right, so those. Mm-hmm. But I had forgotten about the ones that were raised because of Jesus at Jesus' resurrection. So
that aren't named. I think it isn't that because as the gospel was, you know, given to the apostles and then they went out preaching, the focus of raising people from the dead physically faded out is because he was raising people from the dead spiritually. In order, he taught us, he gave us enough so we would understand what he was doing spiritually. But yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. See, this God's teaching us something about himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen. True. Amen.
Yeah, there's thinking of how the shift changed dramatically when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended up to heaven.
Yes.
Well, you didn't see large numbers of people being raised from the dead, as you're talking about, but on the day of Pentecost, you had this explosion of ones being raised from the dead.
Yes.
And continuing on, because it's according to his eternal purpose.
Yes.
He's building his church, and he's showing he's doing it from that first day.
Uh-huh.
When he added 3,000 souls to the church and continued on. See, so there's been a dramatic change in this shift of what you're talking about since Jesus has raised from the dead.
Amen.
Amen.
Bringing many, many to life.
Yes.
Amen.
Even at one time.
Amen. One time.
Amen.
Right? And the same was we were talking about in the break with the when Jesus descended into to preach the spirits that were in prison. Now these were they preached the gospel to them, so they were given life, right?
Yes,
in this eternal sense. See,
that's
that
we, right.
That's what the gospel does, right? And
yes.
You preach the gospel, it's especially to people that aren't inhibited by the flesh. You know, that's kind of hard to kind of wrap your mind around, because we've got the flesh to deal with. But anyhow,
remember the rich man? He's in
Abraham's bosom.
The rich man. He was on the other.
Oh, he was in.
And
in
he said,
Hades.
"Send him back." Because if someone raises from the dead, they'll believe. Mm-hmm. Well, see, that wasn't true.
No. Mm-hmm.
And they tried to kill Lazarus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They plotted. They wanted to kill him. And he just been raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. And what do they want? They want to kill him again. Mm-hmm. So see, this was to teach us something, but this was not the ultimate. They had to die again. But once you're raised in Christ, you don't have to die anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
Far
Amen.
Superior.
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
You know, when Christ returns, all the graves are going to burst
right.
open, and everybody's going to come out of them.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
Be good. Amen.
I want to just talk about this word hell. Okay, how it's just to touch on it briefly. The word now. There's three different. Well, there's actually four, but there's three that are most commonly used.
Uh-huh.
So the word. The word hell can mean like in Moses and the prophets, the word was Sheol, right, which means the grave, or it means the
abode of the dead.
Abode of the dead, right?
Right.
And the counterpart to that in the gospel writers is Hades, right? So now the King James translation consistently translates it hell.
Yeah.
Hell in the scripture is not always the lake of fire.
That's right.
It's
yeah.
not always. The word, sometimes the word, well, when the word does mean the lake of fire, it's in the original, it's Gehenna, right? So
right. Uh-huh.
This is the, so anyhow, just so, that's right, like when, you know, in the Apostles' Creed, like it says that Jesus, this is Apostles' Creed, though, it's not the mm-hmm. Bible, but he descended into hell. Well, he didn't descend into the lake of fire,
no,
he descended into the abode of the dead,
yeah, right?
So this is.
Uh-huh.
Just to, now, even though the King James doesn't clarify this, it always, mm-hmm. you know, you can tell just how the word is
right.
used generally,
yes.
whether it means Hades.
That's right, yeah.
Or if it means is the lake of fire.
Right.
See, so if you can just tell that from the context, you know,
yes.
what it means. So,
amen.
Now, let's think about some things that God has said about himself in Moses and the prophets. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and make alive.
Mm-hmm.
I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Now there's a sense in which that's all that God could do without Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
See, in order for him to bring forth fruit unto everlasting life, see, mm-hmm. God had to have this sin bearer, right?
Yeah.
He had to have this one who was putting away, who would put away sin.
Yes.
Sin was what stood in the way.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It was sin that stood in the way from, so.
Yes. Amen.
So, there is no God with me. This is good theology.
Yeah.
So this is, it's good, I mean, because your mind can get cluttered up, you know, think, well, is there anybody else that I'm answerable to? No, there is no God beside me. That's
Amen.
What God said.
That's
there's
right.
no there's no other God beside me.
That's right.
I'm the only one you have to deal with.
Yes.
God, that's what God's saying. I'm the only one that you have to, you're only answerable to me.
Amen.
Not answerable to anybody else, right? So there's no God beside me, right?
Amen.
There's no God with me. There's no God with me. There's no God beside me. We are not fundamentally accountable to men, but
mm-hmm.
rather to God alone.
Mm-hmm.
We regard, with regard to the issues of both life and death, all men are answerable to God mm-hmm. alone. And who has power to kill, mm-hmm. to make alive, to wound, mm-hmm. and to heal? God still has that power,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Jesus said, "Fear not him who is able to destroy the body,
mm-hmm.
and after that, you know, that have nothing left that he can do." But
that's right.
He said, "Rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul
mm-hmm.
in hell."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I say unto you, my friends, my friends. He's talking to his friends.
That's right.
I say unto you, fear him.
Amen.
So there's a sense in which even Jesus, see, God will never deny himself. See, God always works within the bounds of his own person. See, he will never sidestep who he is in order to be merciful to men, or to be, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It always has to be proceeding from his own person and from who he actually is. So Jesus is warning. He said, I'm forewarning you.
Mm-hmm.
I say unto you, my friends.
Yes.
I tell them, my friends. Mm-hmm. Okay, so. All right, so. Thou knowest that I am not wicked. This is Job talking here to his friends. No, he's actually talking to God here. But Job is the speaker here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Job, this is something that Job knew. Mm-hmm. Something he knew about God.
Amen.
Yes. There's none. See, that's good theology too. There's really none that can deliver out of God's hand.
Yes.
Good for us to think about.
Yes.
There's none that can deliver out of his hand. If you get into his hands the wrong way, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Amen.
Right? And there's none that can deliver out of his hands.
Right.
So even Job knew this. Mm-hmm. In Job's confession to God of being wicked, he was drawing conclusions from the circumstance of his severe trial that God had forsaken him. See, Job was drawing this conclusion because he didn't have the amount of revelation that we had. See, if he could see himself like we see him, see, he would not have talked like this. You know what I'm saying? See, because Job was justified by faith.
Yes.
That's the means that we're justified, right?
Yeah.
He believed God.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why he stood fast, right?
Yeah.
Because he believed God, right?
That's
he was justified by his faith, right?
That's right.
So,
some take these two instances that you spoke of about how that men spoke in the past before Christ came about what it meant, what death was, and they formulate a doctrine based on these several reports, and they create a false doctrine called soul sleeping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is sweeping the nation, our nation.
Yeah.
They use scripture, but see, they use scriptures that where people spoke that didn't have all the information.
That's right.
And so, see, this is the very fact that we have more information later. It should be enough for a person to successfully navigate through soul sleeping and see it for the heresy that it is. But these things, like what you're doing right now, these things need to be taught.
Amen.
Because this is very important that we understand what you're talking about.
Amen. So now, to take that a step further, Brother, Brother Bob, the people that hold this view, they would say, like, well, it's in the Bible, right?
Oh.
So whatever the Bible says, we believe that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but see, this is almost going to sound like heresy, but I'm just telling you that we give heed to the great, we look at all the scriptures from the highest revelation,
right.
See, of Christ and the apostles, right? We take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles, and we look at everything from that perspective. It all fits together.
Amen.
I'll just tell you, it all fits together.
Right.
See, it'll all fit together in your understanding. You won't be living with a contradiction.
That's right.
See, if you see the things of God wrong, you're actually living with a contradiction within yourself, right?
Yes.
So that's just the way it works. See, because we're made in the image of God. If you see the things of God wrong, you will just be dogged by it. You've got to see God and his Christ and this revelation. You have to see it precisely as it's being revealed in the scripture. See that now we're all working on getting and being perfected in that. We're not saying that we've fully arrived in everything, but I'm just saying we can come to a good measure, you know, by the grace of God. We're so long as we're in the body, as Brother Bob ministered to us. See, as long as we're here, the work isn't done, right? So so that's the
amen.
Now think about this. Job living in a time of a lesser revelation. Job knew that his Redeemer lived. He knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Confessed that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he did not fully see the extent of the salvation that this Redeemer was working in the ones who were and are being redeemed, even in his time. So he didn't have the full revelation of Christ. You know, he didn't. He saw saw glimmers. He certainly did, and what he saw, he held fast to. Right. So, but he didn't see the full extent. So Job knew nothing of justification by faith. Mm-hmm. Never talked about it. Right. Well, he talked about how can a man. They reasoned like, how can a man be just with God?
Yeah.
Well, Paul answers that, right? Yeah. He said, amen. We're justified by faith without the deeds of the law, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, now this is a question that came up in Job's day. Uh-huh. I believe it was asked by Job. Well, it was asked by his friends, and it may have been asked by Job too, but it was certainly a question that came up in the course of their speaking one with another, that how can a man be just with God? Mm-hmm. That's a good question, but it's one that can be answered.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that there's an answer to, an answer that, you know, there's been an abundant revelation now about this matter.
Amen.
He didn't see anything about new creatureship.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really have a grasp on eternal life.
Uh-huh.
He didn't. That doesn't mean he didn't have eternal life, but I'm just saying it just wasn't the time to talk about it back then.
Right.
If God had talked about eternal life back then, it would have been like a parable. What is this that he saith? What are you talking about? So this is talked about the everlasting God, right? The eternal God is thy refuge. Talked about the eternality of God, but as far as men having eternal life, this was not something that was proclaimed to men.
Amen.
But he does now.
He does now.
Yeah. So these things in the Old Covenant that were made, no, they were like pillars that were going to hold up this great doctrine of eternal life. Because the shadow's there. You look into it, like you said, they sensed there was more to it than here. Abraham, he never did receive the promise, but he had sensed a look for a city built by God. He sensed that. Faith delivers you that. But they did not have the understanding we do.
Yeah. And there's a sense in which we sense that there's more up ahead than what we see now, too, right? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, right? But we've been given an abundance of revelation that these brethren didn't have. So,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Are we taking too much time here? As we now consider this, ye that forget God. Lest I tear you in pieces. This is God talking.
Mm-hmm.
There be none to deliver. Mm. See, that's men can get into a strait like that where there's none to deliver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yea, of before the day was, I am he. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. Mm. I will work, and who shall let it? Let here means hinder it or stop it. See, sometimes the word sometimes the word let means that, like the whosoever, like he that letteth will let until that wicked one be revealed, like in 2 Thessalonians. See, there it means to hinder too. So some.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so how about the Lord? Mm-hmm. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. This was the case with Hezekiah. God brought him down to the gates of death and brought him up again.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, and we've touched on this, Hezekiah's thanksgiving for the extension of life granted unto him was reasoning upon a lesser revelation, as life and immortality had not yet been brought to light through the gospel. So Paul is an example of this. You know, he said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So, you know what, even, you know, as we think about ourselves, you know, there are people that, you know, we don't want to be cut off before our time. You know, we understand that, but there are people that, you know, they're cleaving so much to the earth, you sense that's really all, that's all they're concerned about is just staying here longer, you know. So that's not a kingdom perspective. See, we want to stay as long as the Lord is using us, right? And so we want to be useful in the hands of the Lord, right? As long as He's using us here, we'll stay, right? But when it's our time to go, we're willing to depart. That doesn't mean it's not easy to say goodbye. We're not being calloused about that. Sooner or later, we're going to have to say goodbye to the people that are very dear to us, right? And so, but we're and But we don't live in dread of that thought because life and immortality has been brought to light through the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
Yes.
I mean, when you lose somebody that's close to you, it's not easy. We understand that. We're not saying that it is. That's not what we're saying. But
well, science has just given us this great bit of information. They said it like this: if you want to live forever, you'll have to wait till the year 2020. Because they have this new technology that will save your brain, and later they can put it in another body. But see, we're not asking for our brain to be saved. We're asking for us to be saved.
Amen.
So see, it's not really a good piece. But see, what it showed me is that they want to live forever. There's this sense that it would be a good thing to live forever and never die.
Amen.
But see, what? Jesus said, "He that liveth and believeth in me will never die."
Amen.
Then he says, "Believest thou this?"
Amen.
So see, this is if you understand what you're teaching, it provokes you to trust in the Lord, because He has the power.
Amen.
He has the power to give life or death. He has the power. Mm-hmm. All He's got to do is just to give you life. He can do it. And then we don't need our brain froze somewhere.
Yeah. Amen. You know, on that connection, when I started teaching at Munster many years ago, we had a teacher's meeting with the principal, and he was just one of these, you know, he had his glasses in his mouth, you know, just kind of haughty, talking haughtily, and he said, "Who knows? We may actually, science may come up with a way for us to have immortality."
Yes.
And I heard somebody in the back, one of the ladies in the back, says, "Oh, I hope not." That was what.
Yes, amen. Yeah.
All right, so He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto the Lord belong the issues from death.
Yes, it is.
Out of the heart proceed the issues of life, right? But here, but regard to the issues from death.
Yes.
Not the issues of death, but the issues from... There are issues from death, right?
Yes.
So, but they all belong to God.
Yes.
They belong to God, which we're thankful that they do. Yes. They don't belong to men, right?
Amen.
The issues from death don't belong to man. They don't belong to angels. They belong to God, right?
Yes.
So this is the issues from death. The issues from... There are issues. Not everybody's good. There's going to be all these cemeteries someday are going to be emptied, right? The God is going to... The earth shall cast out her dead, right?
Yes.
So that's what the scripture says, right? Now, there are indeed issues from death, but they do not belong to men. As we've said, death and the grave are only the end of the matter for life in this present world, and there are issues from death, right?
Yes.
So, the Lord Jesus Christ holds the keys to Hades,
yes,
the abode of the dead, as Sister Karen told us here, and death itself. So, he said, "I have the keys of hell and death, Hades and death." Right. Here's an example. We're talking about Hades. He doesn't have the keys to Gehenna.
No.
So there's not going to be anybody let out of Gehenna once they're cast in there, right? And nobody's been cast in there yet. See, this is after the day of judgment,
right?
So, even see here, like the rich man, when he lifted up his eyes in hell, see, the word hell there is Hades. See, he's not in the lake of fire yet, but he's headed for the lake of fire, right?
Yes.
So that's coming. That's on the divine calendar,
Amen.
Right? So he's headed there, right? So, okay, so the gates of Hades, the abode of the dead, shall not and cannot prevail against the rock-solid truth of Christ's divine sonship.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the gates of hell. Remember, Peter, well, here, let's just read this.
Yeah.
"And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" He said to, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church," right? "And the gates of Hades."
Yeah.
"The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it," right? So the rock here wasn't Peter. The rock of his divinity, right? The rock of his divine sonship.
Amen.
He's built it on that rock. So that's
right.
And Simon Peter, what I find interesting there, he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Son of the living God.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a good confession.
Amen.
Good confession.
Amen.
Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. And so here, if we have been torn and smitten, it is God who has torn us, and with him alone resides the power to bind us up and revive us. So that's it's all in God's hands.
Amen.
That's good to know too. So, and if you work with him, if you're walking with him, if you're torn, he'll bind you up.
Amen.
So that's on the that's on his agenda too. Mm-hmm. So David swore moreover and said, thy father shall knoweth that I have found grace, talking to Jonathan, found grace in thy sight, and he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved, for truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy son liveth, there is but a step between me and death.
Yeah.
And sometimes in life's experience, it seems like that's can be the case as well, right? Just a step.
Yeah.
Like Brother Bob, you were brought, a few years ago in the hospital. We weren't sure if you were going to be with us. And Brother Given is another one, just like a step, between me and death. So,
amen. Yeah.
Now think about this. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell. This is Sheol, right? The abode of the dead.
Right.
But the reason why, the psalmist didn't have this view of this interim state like we do.
Right.
See, it was something that was more or less dreaded. See, because they didn't see beyond this life. You know, they didn't see. They thought this was all that was revealed to them. See, you know what I'm saying? They didn't. Mm-hmm. I found trouble and sorrow. Mm-hmm. Well, I found it sometimes too. So, but I'm sure that you can say that too. But so while he was still living, the psalmist was compassed with, surrounded by sorrows that were associated with death. But now that life and immortality have been brought to light through the gospel, we are confronted with a new dimension to these kinds of sorrows.
Amen.
There is this possibility of being cast into hell.
Yeah.
We think he said Jesus warned. He said his friends, right?
Yes,
he warned them.
Right.
He said, I say unto you, fear him, right? I say unto you,
amen,
who has power to cast both body and soul in hell. I say unto you, fear him, right? So,
amen. That's a holy and good fear.
That's a holy and good fear, right? Now that, we already said that, there are sorrows associated not only with being cut off out of the land of the living, but also with being, we are called upon to buffet our bodies and bring them into subjection, lest after we have preached to others, we ourselves might be a castaway, as Paul confessed. So Paul thought along these lines too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Paul didn't think he was exempt because he was an apostle.
That's right.
Said, I don't have to worry about these things because I'm a chosen vessel, right? Now, Paul, this isn't the way even people that are chosen reason.
Yes.
So you reason according to the scriptures. You reason according to what God has revealed about himself. See, we want to walk in the light of what God has revealed about himself and his son, right? So, these are sorrows that are greatly compensated and assuaged by everlasting consolations and good hope through grace. So it's not the end of the matter. See, these sorrows that in greater measure have a compensation for them. Right? We're comforted with everlasting consolations. Right? And good hope through grace.
Amen.
And then, here he said, "Blessed be God." 2 Corinthians 1. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort with which we are comforted of God. Mm-hmm. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation aboundeth by Christ.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, and whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as we are partakers of the sufferings, we shall also be of the consolation.
Amen.
See, so that's so we reason about that when we're passing through troubled waters, right?
Uh-huh.
So, all right, so I said I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Jesus talking to the his enemies here. Mm-hmm. He says, for if you believe not that I am he.
Yeah.
You don't believe that I am he. See, it's like, this is the foundation. Yes. This is that Christ Jesus is the Son of God. If you don't believe I'm the one who the prophets have been declaring, mm-hmm. who the Father has been declaring. See, if you don't believe that I am that one, mm-hmm. you'll die in your sins.
Amen.
See, this is a... But if you do believe that he yes. is that one, see, I mean, you believe it with your heart's affection. You believe it with all of your heart. See, you believe it. You do believe it. See, you won't die in your sins. See, these kind of people have everlasting life. So, our eternal destiny is here based on a proper comprehension of, by faith, of who Jesus is. So, I want to think about this. I was reading this Isaiah 28 text here. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Mm-hmm. Judgment. Now here, this judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. So let's think about this. Mm-hmm. There are two hiding places for men.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can either hide in Christ, the precious cornerstone, the hiding place of which that in Isaiah 32, man shall be for a hiding place that God has provided in his beloved Son, or they can hide for the moment in the refuge of lies.
Yes, that's right.
See, men are either going to hide in one or the other, right? They're going to hide. See, I think we could say that all men are going to hide one place or the other.
Yes, so, amen.
Yeah. But eventually, God's judgment and righteousness will sweep away the refuge of lies. It's going to be swept away, right?
Yes. Amen.
If you're hiding in a refuge of lies, it's going to be swept away, right? Yes. And if you're the waters are going to overflow the hiding place, right? Yes. They're going to overflow. So
yeah, someone said they'll cry for the rocks and mountains to hide them. And the rocks and mountains will say, we have to go too.
We've got to go too. Right? So, yeah.
Man has to believe something.
Amen.
You have to confess
what you believe. That's there. Right. You said you don't right. believe in anything. Right? So, that must be your doctrine. Then. So, I don't believe in anything.
You have to believe in something to disbelieve in something.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, we're living in a time when people say things like that, like, well, we don't have any doctrine in our church.
Yeah.
So that's your doctrine.
That's your doctrine.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, in that verse in John 8:24 there, it says, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Mm. They also will be guilty of the death of Christ, too.
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's right.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I hear John said, when I saw him, the glorified Christ, this is Revelation chapter 1, mm-hmm. I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not.
Yeah.
I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
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 And have the keys of Hades and of death, right? Hades, the abode of the dead, and death itself. I've got the keys. So, now I didn't get to develop these as much as I want, but let's just look at these. This first group, they're both from Matthew 5:21-24, and then Matthew 5:25-29. Let's just think about this. I want us to think about how that this quickening is directly associated with judgment.
Yeah.
Quickening and judgment. See, Jesus joins them together here. Let's think about it. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them.
Yeah.
Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. That's our text for today, right?
Yeah.
For, I hear, this is our next thought. For the Father judgeth no man, mm-hmm. but hath committed all judgment to the Son. Yes. See how now Jesus has joined those two thoughts together. See, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I have a, I can talk, you know, mm-hmm. extensively about the connection here, but maybe, but I think we can. I think actually in verse 24 we see mm-hmm. the connection.
Yeah.
I think in verse 24 he's actually joined these two thoughts together. So we'll mm-hmm. look at that. So now he said that he hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's a good, these are good words.
Amen.
All men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father.
Amen.
Well, the Pharisees thought they honored the Father, but they weren't honoring the Son, right?
That's
so they
right.
weren't actually honoring the Father
right.
either. So,
mm-hmm.
so he that honoreth not the Son, mm-hmm. honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Now here's this word that kind of that joins together these two thoughts of quickening and judgment. Mm-hmm. Verily, verily, mm-hmm. I say unto you,
yeah.
he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me mm. hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation.
Yeah.
See, here's the judgment. See what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Now here's yeah. here's where the, he's actually joined these two thoughts together in verse 24. You
right.
see that?
Uh-huh.
This matter of being made alive. And the judgment. See, now yeah. what the, I think that's something that we can develop a little bit yeah. more uh-huh. more fully in process of time, because it's somewhat what of a new thought to me of the, mm-hmm. of, the, of this connection. But here he's joined, the Lord has joined them together. Mm-hmm. You see that?
Yeah.
So he that, now there's two conditions, three benefits. See, here's yeah. a, he that heareth my word mm-hmm. and believeth on him that sent me.
Yeah.
You're hearing Jesus' words.
Mm-hmm.
You believe on the Father.
Yeah.
You believe on him. Hath everlasting
Amen.
Life. And shall not come into condemnation. Shall not. Mm-hmm. Shall not come into condemnation.
Amen.
But is passed
yes.
from death unto life.
Yes.
Already made the transition.
Right.
Those that are hearing Jesus' mm-hmm. words, they've already made the transition.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are hearing his words and believing on the Father, they've made the transition from
yes.
death unto life.
Amen.
So that,
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So now, continuing on here, mm-hmm. verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming mm-hmm. when the dead mm-hmm. shall hear the voice of the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
and they that hear shall live.
Yeah.
Doesn't say that they that live shall hear.
Mm-hmm.
It says they that hear shall live. See, so uh-huh. I just want to give heed to Jesus' words.
That's right.
Yeah.
They that hear shall live. It's on that condition. You hear yeah. Jesus' words, you'll live.
Uh-huh.
If you hear, if you receive them, you just receive them into your heart.
Yeah.
They that hear shall live. That's what Jesus said, right?
Amen.
Now in John 11:26, he said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, right? So here there's living and believing. So here living
yeah.
and believing are joined together. And
yeah.
But here we've got talking about hearing.
Yeah.
See how these two thoughts are joined together.
Amen.
Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But here he says, they that hear shall live.
Yeah.
Talking about
yeah.
they that hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Condition. Here it's a condition, right? So in this first instance, he's talking about a condition, right?
Mm-hmm.
They that hear shall live.
Uh-huh.
For as the Father hath mm-hmm. life in himself.
Yes.
Now, having life in himself, my understanding, maybe you want to amplify on this, some of you, that having life in yourself means that you not only have eternal life, but you have the power to impart life,
mm-hmm.
right? So you have power to impart life to others. See, so now Jesus, well, he says here, as the Father hath life in himself, mm-hmm. so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now here, this is talking about in his capacity as the Son of Man and the Son of God. See, in this new capacity,
mm-hmm.
where he's actually identified with us, in his identification with mm-hmm. us. The Word was made flesh
mm-hmm.
and dwelt among us, right?
Yes.
So, but in this new capacity,
mm-hmm.
he is the beginning of the creation of God, right? As
yes.
it says to the church in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. the beginning of the creation of God, that's his name, right? That's what how he revealed himself to that church, right? And so he said, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to have life in himself.
Yes.
Because, and he hath given to the Son, to and he hath given him authority.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. He's given him authority to execute judgment. The Son.
Mm-hmm.
He's given the Son authority. Amen. It's all been given to... See, this is in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 17. See, this is... And other many other places, this matter of this of he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Right? So this is... Yes. We're talking about... See, this matter of the... Being a Jesus as the Son of God and the Son of Man is the judge, right? He's the one that knows us the best. Mm-hmm. See, actually, and we know that he knows us the best, right? Because he's walked in our shoes, right? Yeah. He's actually been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Now, we know that. See, we know that about Jesus, that he... we see, the Father... Now, I'm sure that the Father is... He knows. But see, he wanted us to know that he knows, right? Amen. So he had... So now we know that he knows because someone has, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, right? He has walked where we're walking, right? In the days of his flesh, right? And he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And in him is no sin, right? And he knew no sin and he did no sin, but he was made to be sin for us, right? So.
Yeah.
For So he hath given him authority to execute judgment because he is, for this reason, this is why the Father did it, right? Because, not because he's the Son of God, but because he's the Son of Man. Now, he is the Son of God.
Yeah.
No mistaking about it, but because he is the Son of Man. See, that's the point. That's right. He's given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man.
Amen.
Marvel not at this. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Going to empty all the cemeteries, right? It doesn't say that they that hear shall come forth. It's not going to be conditional there, right? So it's not a conditional coming forth in this instance here. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I want to just, in closing, I want to talk about doing good and doing evil in this sense. We're not talking about keeping the Ten Commandments when we're talking about doing good, although that's, no doubt, that's going to be a part of this, but that isn't what he's talking about here. When he talks about doing good, he's talking about you receiving God's salvation in Christ.
That's right, amen.
That's doing good. Everybody who's received the Son has done good.
Yes, amen.
Everybody who's received Jesus, who's obeyed the Son, see, amen. Everybody who's availed themselves of God's salvation in Christ has done good in this sense.
Amen.
Everybody who's rejected the Son, everybody who's rejected God's salvation in Christ has done evil. See, they're evil for that very reason, right? Because it's really not conditioned, it's not based on the Ten Commandments anymore because Jesus has put away sin.
Yes.
He's actually taken the liability of our disobedience upon himself. See, that's not the issue anymore. See, the issue is whether men believe or not. See, whether they believe on the Son or whether they rejected the Son. Yes. See, everybody see that?
Yeah.
But this is the issue. See, it's good for us to think about this.
Amen.
See, we're justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, even tells us not to marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
he says,
marvel not at
this. Marvel not. Right. Don't be surprised at this. Yeah. Don't be surprised about this. Why would you marvel at this, right?
So,
you ought to know better. You ought to know this, right?
So. That's right. Yeah, the whole creation's been groaning. They're longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. So, I mean, the church ought not be behind the creation. I mean, we've been given a lot more information than that. They just know that it's going to be changed. It's going to be changed. They're looking forward to that change. Now, this, as you were speaking here about, you know, Brother Matthew was talking about the if-thens. There's a lot of if-thens just in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear... You'll live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that, of course, there's some to say there's no ifs in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to do a search for two letter words, and they'll find it's in there a lot,
whole
lot, because God isn't doing anything independent from Christ.
No.
He isn't doing anything, and then Christ is working in the people to produce a reaction, a result.
Mm-hmm.
When those results are evident, he blesses them.
Thy people shall be willing in the day of his power.
Right?
So,
right.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you. There's how there's the merging of those two things, right?
That's right.
You're working, but God is working. So God is doing the underwriting works. So you say, if it hadn't been for Him working, you just wasted your time. See, but this is a. But see, it's because He's working. Because He's working first, right?
Amen.
So He's doing the primary work. Well, we just enter in together with Him in that work, right? So we work it out with fear and trembling.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the people of God, they don't fear death, and they don't fear the grave.
No.
Somebody wrote a song, "There Ain't No Grave That Can Hold My Body Down."
Yeah.
You're going to hear the trumpet sound, I'm going to rise up out of the ground. See, we're filled with anticipation.
Amen. Yeah.
Being rejoined. Mm-hmm. It's going to be what a day.
Amen.
In this life, man, they look at life being contingent upon age, illness, something befalling you, and you're alive first, and then you die. But it just as you're speaking about it, it brought to mind Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones. See, the way God looks at it is we're all dead until we hear life.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That's the answer to it. So
that's the same thought there.
Yeah.
Prophesy unto these bones. Right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what Ezekiel thought? Yeah. Preach into a valley of dead bones.
Yeah.
Valley of dead bones.
Dead bones.
Right. Well, if you see it right, there's some of those valleys around here too. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Is anything too hard for the Lord?
Anything too hard for the Lord?
Yeah. And I thought about too. The graves he's talking about is not confined to the dust of the earth.
No.
Because it doesn't say that the sea will give up.
The sea will give up.
That's right.
And those who try to think that they can avoid this and are cremated and they scatter their dust into the wind, see, that'll all
come together.
So when he talks about the graves, it's not just those that are in the ground.
That's right.
Amen.
There's no escaping this.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, you say scatter their dust in the wind, you know, but God's going to draw them together just like Ezekiel did the dry bones. He's going to draw them right back to something that's standing there.
Amen.
Amen.
Guess we're ready for you, Sister Karen.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen.